The Old Testament, the word transgressions is right here in the Hebrew. It means a revolt, rebellion, to break away from just authority. And once again, we have the law of first mention. And I want to go back into the Old Testament for a couple of minutes before we get back to Galatians 3, because we're heading for Galatians 5, right? That's where the Holy Spirit's heading, Galatians 5:1. We're going to get there, but stay with us as we go back into the Old Testament in Exodus 23:20, and we see the law first mentioned in operation again. Again, the law first mentioned is this thing that the theologians have, where anything and every word specifically that is mentioned for the first time in the Bible is very significant into why it was mentioned. For example, in Genesis 6, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the sight of God. That's the first time the word grace is used. Well, Noah's name means rest. So rest found grace in the sight of God. It's very significant to how it's used. So you will not find and see and understand and receive and live under the grace of God unless you rest. You don't rest. If you're going to work and not rest, my friend from Tanzania, he was here in November, Pastor Sergi Marimba, he said this. I loved it. He said, well, I learned something from the SBN telecast on the Message of the Cross program, and to put it in my own words, because Brother Swaggart asked him, well, what did you learn, Pastor? He said, what I learned, he's an Assembly of God pastor, he said, what I learned is, when I work, God rests. But when I rest, God works. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the message of the cross in 8 words or less. Glory to God. Amen. Okay, so Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. He will not pardon your transgressions. But if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the Amorites and Hittites and Perizzites and Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Verse 24, you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them and completely break down their sacred pillars. The transgression was serving false gods. The law first mentioned, the word transgression in the Hebrew, first time used when they were serving false gods. The word transgression, very important. Go to Leviticus, turn over a few pages to Leviticus 16:15. Leviticus 16:15 and 16, two verses. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions, for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So he's talking here about the blood taking care of their transgressions and their sins. Joshua 24:19. Joshua 24:19. Are you there? Joshua 24:19. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. What am I trying to point out here? I'm trying to point out that transgressions and sins are two different things. Transgression is a revolt and a rebellion to break away from the just authority, to go out from under the covenant and go a different way. Sins are when we sin. Hello? The blood takes away our sin. Takes it away. But our transgressions, that's a different problem. That's a real problem. When we transgress the covenant, when we come out from under and go another way, and we transgress the covenant, we're in real trouble. There's only one way, and Jesus said, I'm the way. There's only one Savior. There's only one cross. There's only one blood. There's only one Holy Spirit pointing to that. And if we transgress that covenant, if you forsake the Lord, next verse, and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. They were already under the covenant, but now they're transgressing. He will turn the one who has already done you good. Psalm 25:07. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. Two different things. Are you with me? The law was added because of our transgressions. Adam knew he was naked. It shows us our sins. But it's designed to show us our sin of transgression, the covenant. Psalm 51:03. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Psalm 103:12. We know this one. You guys can quote it verbatim, right? For God not only forgives us our sins, but he throws us into the sea of forgetfulness, right? As far as the east is from the west. Amen?
Yes.
Nope. That's not what it says. That's what I quoted for 15 years, but that's not what it says. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. The difference. Because we were transgressing the covenant before we were saved. We were not going his way. He adds the law to show me you're not doing it right. You need a redeemer. You're not going to be good enough. You can't serve other gods, carved in images. You can't lie, you can't steal, you can't covet. Love your God and your neighbor. All these things to show us that we're not in covenant with a holy God. But once we're in covenant, once we come to Christ, once the seed has come, now the law is not necessary anymore for us. So let's go back to Galatians. And if you want to jot this down, well, let's look at it. I got it written down. Let's look at Isaiah 43:25. Isaiah 43:25. Are you there? I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. Isaiah 44, 22, turn the page. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. A thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. You think Carl Brown says he can't sing? Forget it. It's like, he could probably sing me I can't sing at all. I'm supposed to be able to do because my dad could, but Isaiah 53, 5. Then we'll move on. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of his peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgressions. Glory to God. Glory to God. Back to Galatians 3, and we'll go, I think, verse 21, 22. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So the transgression is unbelief. That's what it is. The transgression is unbelief. Going back to law is unbelief. Anything other than faith in Christ is transgressing the covenant, and it's unbelief, and it becomes a law, and it's going to kill you. You've just made yourself a transgressor. And there isn't anybody in this room that hasn't done it. Unless you got saved at break. Hallelujah. But now we know the answer. Now we know the truth. Now we know. Now we know him. Now we have Christ. Look at verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would after be word be revealed. Kept under guard. That word kept in the Greek, locked up. After the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. After the law. After the law does its job. Verse 24. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we must be justified, that we might be justified by faith. The law was our tutor. Are you there? It was our teacher. It was to show us our transgression. Our transgressions. Verse 25. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We are no longer under law. Glory to God. We are not under law. We can't have liberty. We can't have freedom. We can't stand fast in liberty if we go back and yoke to law. Because now we're transgressing the covenant and we're going to make a mess. Look at Acts chapter 15, please. Verse 5, just to make, well, go, verse 1 first. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And let's jump to verse 5. Are you there? Acts 15. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, these are brothers and sisters, these are Pharisees who have received Christ. They believed, they rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter, and we need to come together today to consider this matter. Let's consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, brothers and sisters again. Men and brothers and sisters, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Verse 10. Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Verse 22. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. These are the top dogs in the pack. And they wrote this letter to them, the apostles and the elders and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Baton Rouge. Greetings. Since we have heard that some of who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. We are perfect law keepers if our faith is in Christ. The law is not for us. It was added because of our transgressions, until the seed would come, to who the promise was given. Look at 1 Timothy 1:9. Before we move on to chapter 4, I want you to look at, you go to verse 8 first. 1 Timothy 1:8. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Listen, I use the law all the time. I'm an evangelist. I stood up before hundreds of people in Bolivia and Argentina a few weeks ago, and I preached the law, man. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. You need Jesus. Amen. You're a liar. You're a sinner. You're not going to make heaven. Your sin separated you from God. And the law condemned the people. The law killed the people, and they came to the altar, and they gave their lives to Christ. And now by faith they're saved. The law did its job. The law is right. The law is holy. The law is righteous. The law, when used properly. But look at verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. We are righteous in Christ. The law was not made for us once we're saved. If we go back to the law, we're being yoked to the law. And we won't have the liberty. We won't have the freedom. I made this list, and I thought about having it copied. If you really want a copy, you can ask me. But in Galatians chapter 3, 4, and 5, we have this under law. These are the words, the adjectives, if you will, that are used in these three short chapters in Galatians. Under law, we are slaves. The words bondage, yoke to law, transgressor, works, flesh, foolish, suffer, vanity, cursed, not of faith, under guard, weak and beggarly elements, fallen from grace, estranged, leaven, lust of the flesh. This is the law. In Christ, we are sons. We are heirs. We have liberty. We're yoked to Jesus. We're free. We have the Holy Spirit. We have faith, miracles, blessed, justified, redeemed, promise of the Spirit, the seed, the covenant, the inheritance, righteousness, baptized into Christ, Abraham's seed, adoption, hope, love, obeying the truth, led by the Spirit. These are all the adjectives of the person in Christ in three chapters of Galatians. Glory to God. That's ours. That's what we have in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's a lot to pack in a very short letter. Hallelujah. No, the law is not made for righteous, but the lawless and the insubordinate, the ungodly, and for sinners. When used properly, of course, it's necessary. Thank God for the law. Thank God it took old Brother Dan out. I needed to go down. Thank God. Old things have passed away now. All things become new. I'm a new creation in Christ. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. Look at Romans 6:14. We know this verse. For sin, the sin nature, shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. This scripture clearly tells us we are not under law. Of any description. But have you been to the Christian bookstore lately? 1,000 books with 1,000 ways, and 997 of them are laws. And they point, that book points you to yourself. You do this, you do that, you go here, you go there. They've all got their systems and their programs, and they all become law. Okay. Galatians chapter, well, we got one more verse, or a couple more verses. So let's go Galatians 3:26. I like to stay line by line if I can. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because, that word for in the Greek really is because, verse 26. Because you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In verse 27, because as many as of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Baptized into Christ, Romans 6. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. Carl Brown said it yesterday. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, the how much money you have in the bank or don't have. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter. If you're in Christ, everybody's the same at the foot of the cross. Amen. Amen. Justified by faith. Glory to God. Let me show you something. Kayla, are you here? Come here, real quick. Run up here. Come on. Oh, yeah, this is my granddaughter. Okay. How old are you?
8.
You're 8? Mm-hmm. How long have you been saved?
4 years.
4 years. You have Jesus in your heart? 4 years? Hallelujah. Pastor Mike Chorey, stand up, please. How long have you been saved? 34 years. A pastor? A church planter? The head of a large ministry called Joshua Revolution, seen many souls come to Christ, a teacher of the word, a man of God with vision, the only man that got Brother Swaggart out of Baton Rouge to his church up in New York. And a little girl. Let me ask you something. Who is more justified in the sight of God?
They're the same.
They're the same. They're the same, the blood of Jesus. There is no difference. Hallelujah. It's not all the things you've done, or not the things you haven't done yet, although this one's gonna.
Amen.
But it's your faith in Christ alone, justification by faith. We are all the same, one in Christ. We're all one in Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Happy birthday, Brother Mike. Praise God. He just had his spiritual birthday, along with his other birthday. Verse 29, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay, you see that? It hasn't changed. It's the same. It's by promise. It's by faith. It's a covenant by promise. We have a better covenant because Christ has come, but Abraham's in the same place we're going. He's not, I don't know who's going to be sitting where up there, but we're all going to be in the same place.
Yeah.
I expect Abraham might have a little higher seat than me. I don't know, though, you know. He did give us Ishmael. Sorry. No, we're all the same in Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's all by promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's a master of all. Okay? Everybody's the same, even though you're an heir. Verse 2, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time. Talking about the law. It's talking, making the point once again that the law is our guardian and our steward. All right? Until that time, it says, appointed by the Father. Verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. You see, before the inheritance, we're in bondage. Before we get the inheritance, we're slaves. But when the fullness of the time had come, verse 4, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Hallelujah. The Redeemer, Jesus, would have to be born under the law. It would take a man to redeem man. The redemption, to buy back, to purchase us. It would take a man. Man sinned. It was our sin, our problem. And it would take a man to redeem man. You know, Brother Swigert says it this way. I love it. I've heard it for years. He could speak the worlds into existence. But he could not speak sin out of the world. I mean, the power of just... and let there be light, and it's still going today. But he could not speak sin out. Why? Because he's a just God. He's a perfect judge. He must judge sin. Thank God that he's not looking at my brother or my sister different than me. I'm in Christ. It doesn't matter that I've done far worse than those two. It doesn't matter what I've done. It's faith in Christ alone. I'm an heir. I'm an heir of the promise. I have an inheritance. I'm in Christ. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to spend eternity with my Jesus. Why? By faith alone. Why? Because Jesus, born of a woman, under the law, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law. Redeem those two who were under the law. Do you understand? We're redeemed from the law. We were under the law. That we might receive the adoption as sons. Glory to God. The law is very important. The law is absolutely necessary. Of course, God gave it. But it's not for us anymore. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit just keeps going and going and bearing down on this. Why? Because the church of Galatia was having a big problem. They're having a big problem with this law thing. Are we under the Ten Commandments? And right, you know, listen, I'm not judging them. Because this was all brand new then. But we ought to wake up because we've got the New Testament in front of us. I mean, really, we should know better. At least that's the way I see it. I'd like to, you know, correct a few things I've done in the past regarding this. But God's faithful to forgive us. You know, and we need to repent. Of transgressing the covenant. Whatever it was. You know, I had to ask God to forgive me of putting my faith in my prayer meeting. Some of us here in this room, you know, you got to take a look at this transgression thing. You know, really. We have to make sure that our faith is only in Christ and him crucified. That's where the victory was won. Okay, verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. Oh, yeah. Guilty. But then, verse 8 says, but then, indeed, but then, now verse 9, but now, but then I served gods that weren't real. But now, after you have known God, yes, I do, or rather are known by God, glory to God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Why now are we going back to these laws? What's wrong with us? I mean, I can feel the frustration of the Apostle Paul here. As the Holy Spirit's like driving this home, like, people, would you please look where you came? You want to go back to law? You want to go back to that bondage of trying to live for me by the law? God would say, I gave you the law for a purpose and for a reason and for a time and a season to bring you to myself. What is the law? The Ten Commandments, the ceremonial law, the law of a man, the law you make for yourself. When was it given? At Mount Sinai and all over the world today, every day in the bookstores. And how long is it good for? Until the seed comes. Why was it given? To show us our transgressions of the covenant. We don't want to go back to the beggarly, the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire to be again in bondage. Getting closer all the time here to Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty in which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know, I'll tell you, one of the freest, most liberated person in this room is probably my granddaughter.
Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
Hopefully she hardly even knows what we're talking about.
Amen.
But we know, because we've all been there. And if you think you haven't, we need to talk. We just don't want to be there now. Okay, he says in verse 10, you observe days, months, and seasons, and years, like 40 days, like 21 days, like 12 steps, like seasons of this and that. You observe all these things. I'm afraid for you, lest I labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of my physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at first. In my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you. Who? Everybody that's not of faith. I mean, really. If they don't have the proper object of faith, they're zealously courting you. Listen, man always wants you to conform you into his own image. The Holy Spirit wants to conform us into the image of Christ. There's a big difference. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. You know, like, what you don't do that? You don't go here? Well, you need to, they'd tell you. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Tell me. You who desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. The bondwoman, we're going to see in a minute, was Hagar. The bond woman. Bondage. The bond woman. And the other by a free woman. Liberty. The free woman. The son of promise. Glory to God. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. You know, our flesh, now hear me please, our flesh likes law. No, it does. It just does. We you know, we want to try and help God somehow. I'm not that bad. I can do something. We make these little laws, and like to have other people follow our little laws because we want them to conform to our image. All right. That's the flesh. We're going to deal with that a little more in chapter 5. Okay, we got a few minutes here on this session. Verse 24, which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. That's the law. It gives birth to bondage. It was intended to. It's supposed to. It's supposed to show us that you have transgressed the covenant. But if you go back to it, you're going to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You're going to go back to law. But now let's make it very clear. I think the Holy Spirit's making very clear here. Clearly talking about the Ten Commandments. Mount Sinai. Amen? Amen? He's talking about the Ten Commandments. Which things are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, the Ten Commandments, which is Hagar. Verse 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children to even this day. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, talking about us Gentiles. We didn't give birth to the, we don't have the Bible. We didn't have the Messiah in our lineage. We're the barren ones. Rejoice, O barren Gentiles, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children. We have more children than the Jews, obviously. Than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. We are children of promise. Amen. We are children of promise. We have the covenant of promise. Our faith is in Christ and Him crucified. The blood of Jesus has promised us justification by faith, sanctification by faith, one day glorification, all by faith. We are children of promise. I'm going. I have abundant life right now. Yes. I am enjoying abundant life and I am free. Jesus said you will have life and life more abundantly. He said you will know the truth. Now, I love this. I don't know if this is exactly right, so I clarify it. You can ask somebody that's like Brother Chory or somebody if this is right. But Jesus said, you may know the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, Jesus said, I am the truth. So I'm going to say that I will know Jesus and Jesus will make me free. I will know the truth and the truth will make me free. I know Jesus and Jesus has made me free. I am free, free indeed. Hallelujah. And so are you if your faith is in Christ. Glory to God. But now in verse 29 we see, but as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Religious people under law don't like the message of the cross. They don't like this freedom. Who do you think you are? Oh, you think you got something? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have a new and living and better covenant. I have Jesus Christ and His finished work of the cross as my object of faith, and I have victory in my life. And the Holy Spirit will always point me there. The other spirits will not, and they don't like it. They don't like it, as we know. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Ishmael persecuted Isaac, and still does today. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Are you ready? Can you take it? Do we want to go there one more time? The Holy Spirit says, cast out the bondwoman. Cast out the law. Enough with the law. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, brothers and sisters, Christians, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Hallelujah. Stand fast, therefore. Right now, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty in which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Don't go back to law. Stand fast. Hallelujah. Stand fast. I'm not going to move from this position. My condition's not there, but my position is in Christ. And I'm not moving. My faith is going to remain where I have liberty in Christ. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Want to give him a hand? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So now we want to travel through Galatians 5 a little bit. And we're going to take a break, though. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Ask you, Lord, to be with us in this next and last session. And we give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, about maybe 10 minutes, and we'll come back. I think Brother Smith's going to take up an offering for our ministry, so it is finished.
If I can have your attention.
Glory to God. Praise God. Here you go, Dave. Do you know how to turn that on right there?
Habla español. Francais. There we go. We'd like to receive an offering for our brother Burritt. I'm going to pass around some containers. And I'd like for you to... if you need a credit card slip, there are some available right here, but let me pass these around for you, okay?
Can I write them down, or do you have an extra slip to give me? What we got when we can craft?
Yeah. I can get copies made. Yeah, I'll get a copy. I'll get copies made.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
You said you had copies of this thing? Yes.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I'll is that
it. Yeah, I'll get it made. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get it made. I'm gonna get some made. Other people have asked too. So.
Okay. Cool. All and right. Then when would we find you, like?
It'll be ready after the session.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. I'm going to have some copies made of this list that I read out about the adjectives. So I'll make some. Okay. All
David's on his way.
Oh.
Hey, David.
Okay.
Doreen, grab it from him. Doreen, you guys go do that, honey. Don't disrupt when you come back. She's going to make them right now. Doreen. That was a sin nature. Thank you. They're making them now. Okay, they're making copies of the list that I read about the law and in Christ, so you can have those at the end. And also, one more thing, please. A lot of you missed the offering bucket, and you're going to have a chance at the end. Well, you can have that opportunity. It's okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you missed the offering, several people came up and tried to give me something, but it goes to the ministry, JSM. So Brother Hoffman will come up at the end and you can hit him again. Praise the Lord. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God. Okay, we got 45 minutes or so. We'll make sure we're out of here by 4. So the what, the where, the who, and the when. The what is the Ten Commandments, is the ceremonial law. It's the law from man. You see, because that word nomos, we had it up on the board. It means anything established, anything by custom, anything by tradition. It can be, a law can come from anywhere. This is the best way to remember this. Anything that's not faith in Christ becomes a law. It just does. It really, you may not intend it to be, you may not even know you're doing it. Amen. You know, I mean, I didn't know for a long time. Someone had to show me. And of course, the Holy Spirit in the end of the day really showed me. He's the one that really has to convict me and show me, hey, look, you're trying to justify yourself. You're trying to sanctify yourself. Let me make this statement.